Good morning and welcome to the Marcus Today Breakfast Briefing. My name is Henry Jennings. It is Tuesday, the 21st of December. And as usual, with all the information contained in this briefing, it is general advice only. So please do your own research, contact your own financial advisor regarding any of the thoughts, ideas or insights in this briefing. If you need to, you can go to the website and read our disclaimer there, www.marcustoday.com.au. You can also sign up for a free 2-week trial and maybe even take out a subscription. What better present for your loved one this Christmas? All right, well, overnight prices. Well, we had an interesting night on the US markets, that's for sure. We saw the Dow Jones down 433 points, down 1.23%, 34,932. But at its worst, it was down 700 points. So a good rally by the dip coming into play there. Fifth out of 6 days of losses for the Dow. The Nasdaq also down last night, pretty much similar, 1.24%, 189 points to 14,981. And the S&P 500 down 53 points, just slightly better than both of those, down 1.14%, 4568, 4568. What was, I guess, a little bit surprising is that the VIX index was only up 6.1% or 1 point to 23 points. So given the volatility on the Dow, you would have imagined that we may have seen a little bit higher in that VIX index, but certainly probably Christmas week making it a little bit more muted. Buyers of option premium not really that committed to taking out that insurance ahead of the holiday close downs may be the reason. But certainly some of the reasons for the Dow weakness, of course, was that news on Sunday night that Senator Manchin from West Virginia was not going to get on board the Biden Build Back Better bill. Unfortunately for the Democrats, they do seem to be in disarray. Of course, we also had more news on Omicron over the weekend as well, not helping the situation there. And the market's still digesting, I guess, the inflationary outlook and some risk off happening at the moment in markets globally. That's for sure. SPY futures on the back of all this were up 6 points, so not a bad effort. But yesterday was certainly a small loss, which, given the state of the US futures market going into yesterday and also the likely outcome of the US markets based on that, was a pretty good performance. The banks held up relatively well, and we did see the iron ore stocks doing well. And CSL, for most of the day, was up way above that $273 level that the issue was done at last week. However, that didn't last into the close. So expecting a 6-point rise today. As far as commodities go, a bit of a fall across the board for commodities with the exception of iron ore. We had Brent crude down 2.7%, $2.71.52. WTI down 3.7%, $2.63.68.23. At one stage, futures contracts in the US were down around 6 or 7%. So again, a good buy the dip rally coming into play in that oil market, but oil has been on the nose for a little while. Gold slightly easier last night, down $10.30, $1,794.60, down 0.57%. That range of $1,750 to $1,800 still very much in play. Iron ore up $4.95, $123.20, up 4.19%. Other commodities we saw: copper up 0.1, nickel down 1.6, aluminium down 2.3, zinc down 0.8, lead down 0.1, and tin down 0.7%. As a result of all this, resource stocks overseas last night, we saw Freeport down 1.5%, Alcoa down 1.1%, Teck down 0.3%, Anglo down 1.14%, Glencore down 2%, Vale US down 2.3%, and Albemarle down 5.1%. Certainly some of the fizz in the lithium sector may be going out of the equation. given that knocking back of the Build Back Better bill, which actually was promoting EVs, subsidizing, that will sap a little bit of the demand and maybe take some of the gloss out of some of the lithium stocks currently at the moment. In terms of the Aussie dollar, 71.11, so pretty much a little bit easier from where we were at the close last night. Of course, the Forex markets don't close 24/7, they are, but at our close last night, it was a smidge higher than that. As far as the S&P goes, you can see the damage and the rally, so a pretty good night. We did have a low of 45.32-ish last night, closing at 45.61, so a 32-point-odd rally in the S&P 500 last night. So a pretty good showing of the buy-the-dip mentality. We have seen 5 out of 6 days of losses for US markets. As far as major stories go, the S&P 500 has the biggest three-day drop since September, and oil has capped off its biggest sell-off on the month on the virus and the Manchin fallout. That's Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, surprising the White House last night with the Build Back Better bill, which was knocked back by Manchin. He does now have a chance to issue his demands and maybe get it passed in early 2022, but we'll see how that goes. Some thoughts are that he may even have crossed the floor and being a sort of Republican in disguise, but he said that's not going to happen. He is a Democrat. Goldman cuts US GDP forecast after Manchin says he won't support the BBB, the Build Back Better bill, and Omicron surge raises concerns amongst lawmakers and business leaders about dwindling fiscal support. US to face moderate growth headwinds in 2022 from the end of monetary and fiscal policy. And in vaccine news, the Moderna COVID-19 booster shot increased immunity levels against Omicron about 37 times more than pre-boost levels, with new restrictions in Europe, although the UK is still holding firm on where they are at the moment, despite 93,000 cases a day yesterday. So some big numbers coming out of the UK, but as yet that death rate still hasn't taken off so dramatically that they have to close things down just before Christmas. But Boris, well and truly under pressure at the moment, especially after pictures emerged in one of the daily newspapers of him and his staff having a party in the garden during lockdown. China cuts benchmark LPR for the first time since April 20 as economic momentum falters. And the Bank of Japan's Kuroda says too early to consider normalizing monetary policy. Well, they haven't normalized monetary policy for 3 decades, so it's way too early for them. South Korea sees steady recovery next year, slightly increases growth forecasts and commits to ongoing fiscal stimulus. And global M&A activity breaks all-time records, topping $5 trillion in 2021. More trouble in Little China. Caixa follows Evergrande into restructuring talks after it misses the payment, and energy prices poised to remain volatile due to weather and geopolitical tensions. As far as our market today, there's not a lot on, which is why I've got in big letters. We do have the RBA board meeting today in New Zealand. Those minutes at least, we've had the result of that board meeting, but we do get to see the minutes today. New Zealand credit card spending in November. As far as our stocks go overseas, we had BHP down around 0.1 of a percent and Rio down 0.9 of a percent. In the US markets, with those numbers, 1.1% and 1.6% look a little exaggerated. They came from the AFR. Tesla and the other slew of tech stocks, let's have a little look at those. Apple down 0.8, Facebook down 2.5, Google down 0.1, Microsoft 1.2% down, Amazon down 1.7, Netflix, well, if we're all going back into lockdown and Omicron takes hold, Netflix will be the winner as usual, up 1.2%. US banks not doing very well last night. JP Morgan down 1.8%, Citigroup down 2.1%, and Goldman down 2.7% there. And Block, the artist formerly known as Square, which is the Afterpay owner, down 5.24% there. So not good news for there. 10-year yields in the US back down to 1.40%. Australia, 1.53%. Germany, still negative 0.38, and iron ore doing well. Hamish Douglas, the Rockstar fund manager from Magellan, has called for calm after a 33% rout in his headstock yesterday. And Nine Entertainment Company has won the NRL broadcast rights for a further 5 years. AMP will delist from the New Zealand Stock Exchange. And Santos, following their merger with Oil Search, may look to offload around $5 billion worth of infrastructure assets, or even do a deal similar to Woodside, allowing outside parties to buy into some of their projects. The city analysts they're still working, which is amazing. Most analysts have taken off for the coast. But City says Helios may have overpaid for their recent acquisition. And Bell Potter says that Western Area's shareholders should be very, very happy with the amount of money that IGO has paid for the company. Very happy indeed. And CSL, for those interested in the SPP, it's a $750 million SPP. So it's not insubstantial by any stretch of the imagination. Those details are out today. Question of the day today, I guess, what do you think of Magellan from here? Have we seen the big rout? Have we seen the shorts clean up? There are some suggestions that the shorts have made around $75 million in the last couple of days of trade on Magellan. There was around 8 million shares shorted, and big falls there yesterday, obviously. But can Hamish stop the rot and turn things around? This is the big question. Certainly he is one of the rock star, I guess, people in the market, and certainly one of its spokespeople out there, and they do marketing very well, but certainly under serious pressure at the moment. Many analysts suggesting that after the St. James withdrawal of their money, there may be others that follow suit. So that is certainly a concern for the market at the moment, that once one bunch of money disappears, once they go off into the sunset with their funds, then others will follow suit. So certainly an issue going forward. But some also pointing out that Magellan does look quite cheap now compared to historic levels. So what do you think about Magellan from here? And can Hamish stop the rot? That's it from me today. Thanks very much for listening. You can head on over to the Facebook discussion group. We'd love to have your thoughts, ideas and insights there. We're heading to the pointy end of my very informal contest to get nearest the pin for the Christmas Eve ASX 200 level. There were four people in the running yesterday. Who knows what will be today, but certainly it's a little bit of fun for the end of year. If you're listening to this on a podcast, as you probably know, we do have four streams of podcasts: the Marcus Strategy, the On the Desk, the On the Couch podcast, and this podcast, together with the End of Day, forming the market update stream. So four streams to choose from. And if you're not yet a member of the Marcus Today community, we'd love to have you on board. It's a great Christmas present for anyone. And I'm sure the team on the marketing and admin side of things can sort you out with a subscription for 2022, which looks to be a far harder year to navigate, looking at the risks ahead. So great present. You can head on over to marcustoday.com.au to subscribe, or even just check out our offering on a 14-day free trial. That's it from me today. Have a great day.